The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Some Pharisees came, and to test him, they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms and laid his hands on them and blessed them. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the one God, by whom and in whom and through whom all are made whole. Amen. Move yourself and you move your mind. You look at the evidence from different angles. These words were spoken to fictional heroine Maisie Dobbs, a psychologist and investigator, by her mentor, Maurice Blantz, in a novel entitled In This Grave Hour, written by Jacqueline Winspear. The novel is set in England at the outset of World War II. Jesus is, in essence, I think, saying much the same thing in today's challenging gospel passage from Mark. Thoroughly unpacking this text and its context is beyond the scope of this preacher in a single Sunday morning homily, possibly ever. That said, I will say that my own mind has been moved on the subject of marriage and divorce over time. Through study, prayer, and experience, from a literalist understanding to a much more complex and nuanced one. In the preceding chapter of the gospel, which we heard last week, Jesus is telling his disciples not to stop those who are doing deeds of power in his name, even when they don't agree. He uses the analogy of a child, just as he does in today's text. But now, Jesus is first approached and questioned by some Pharisees, members of the Jewish sect most concerned with the Mosaic Law, its interpretation, and its enforcement. In Pharisaic thinking, obedience to the law as written was paramount. And understandably, the Pharisees want to get it right. They are constantly trying to test Jesus' knowledge and understanding. They are convinced that their understanding of the law is the only and the correct understanding. And they want Jesus to agree with them. If he doesn't, then they hope that Jesus will fail their pop quizzes so as to discredit him and his message of a higher, more comprehensive authority than inflexible legalism. However, it is precisely their limited understanding that Jesus is pointing out to them that trips them up. In essence, Jesus is telling them to move not only their minds, but to move beyond their minds to their hearts. Jesus' reply expresses and emphasizes God's desire for union among all creation, not the specific mechanisms of marriage or divorce. We don't know what the Pharisees make of this answer, but we do know that Jesus and his disciples move, this time into a house presumably shared by a family and likely an extended family. Jesus' answer to his disciples in this domestic context moves the conversation to another angle, another level. Jesus overtly includes both women and men equally in his remarks. He did this more subtly in his answer to the Pharisees when he flipped the dialogue, moving it from a man writing a certificate divorcing a woman to the quotation from Genesis in which God creates both women and men with the implication that both are equally valued and necessary for and to God's vision. And this vision is made crystal clear by the next and very abrupt move. Jesus redirects the conversation entirely, back as it were to our beginnings. We are all first and foremost God's children. We may have different human parents, but we are all children of the same God. We all belong to God's family, and we are all invited into the work and joy of participating in God's dream realization project, in the ongoing building of God's cosmic kingdom. I sometimes think of God's dream, God's kingdom, as a kaleidoscope. As a child, I was fascinated by kaleidoscopes, by their colors and light and movement. Kaleidoscopes operate on the principle of multiple reflection, where two or more reflectors are placed at an angle to one another. When three mirrors are used, as in the equilateral triangle type or the Trinitarian type, an infinite pattern that fills the entire visual screen results. An infinite pattern results. But to create this infinite pattern, movement is essential. When movement is stopped, the colors and shapes that form the image get stuck, and the infinite possibilities contained therein are blocked and lost. Our theme for this first Sunday is Sabbath or rest. Sabbath is an important movement itself. Sabbath, rest, is a conscious decision that allows us to pause and to reflect, to move into a new space for a time, to look and see from a different angle. As Jesus shows us time and again, as God demonstrated by resting on the seventh day of creation, we are not designed to go, go, go without ever pausing for refreshment and renewal. Resting is itself, in a way, a movement that allows a different view, a different perspective for our hearts and minds, our bodies and spirits, so that we do not get stuck in the same place and patterns, so that we do not become stagnant or rigidly hard-hearted. When Jesus goes off alone, he is usually going off to pray. But an interesting thing about prayer is that when we pray, we are never alone, even if or when we feel that we are. Whether our prayer is verbal or nonverbal, still or in motion, within a gathered community like here today, or by ourselves, we are always connected to God and through God to each other by virtue of the act of prayer. In community, through sacramental prayer and ritual, through baptism with water and the Spirit, we are going to welcome four new members into the body of Christ. We will promise to remain connected to them, to nurture them as a community, as the family of God. Even though they and we individually have different callings and purposes, we all live and move and have our being in the heart of the very same God. And we need the new color, the new shapes, the new angles, the new movement these children will add to the kaleidoscope that is the body of which we are all necessary members. Connection, union. One of the most important ways we as disciples of Jesus stay connected is through Holy Communion. Today is World Communion Sunday, which is observed by a number of Christian denominations annually on the first Sunday of October to promote Christian unity and cooperation by focusing on our common spiritual feast, the Eucharist. This year, this particular Sunday is particularly poignant for me. My husband Bill and I just returned from Spain, where we were part of a mission pilgrimage group led by the Bishop of the Spanish Episcopal Church. Our mission was to explore building an Anglican pilgrim center in Santiago de Compostela. Santiago is the third most visited site of Christian pilgrimage in the world after Jerusalem and Rome, with over 300,000 pilgrims traveling the Camino last year. Many of these pilgrims walk hundreds of miles under all sorts of conditions to arrive at the cathedral square. The cathedral is dedicated to Santiago, St. James the Greater, the son of Zebedee and brother of John, who was the apostle who tradition holds went to Iberia to spread the gospel. I was in Santiago 17 years ago. Visually, not much had changed, except that there were more pilgrims, and certainly more pilgrims at the pilgrim mass. But sadly, something essential, something vital, had changed for me personally. 17 years ago, I was still a Roman Catholic. Consequently, I was able to participate fully in the Eucharist, to receive the bread and wine, the body and blood of Jesus, to share in that heavenly spiritual food and drink. This time, I was not welcomed. In fact, I was stopped, just as some disciples tried to stop the little children when they were going to Jesus. I was stopped, as were more than half of the people attending the Mass. I was stopped by institutional words. Only Roman Catholics in a state of grace are eligible to receive communion. I was stopped by institutional words that directly contradicted Jesus' words of institution uttered on the night before he was betrayed. This is my body. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me. Although my mind knew in advance that this might happen, my heart was still grieved. Remembrance, remembering, putting back together the body that was broken for us all, the body that can only be reconstituted through the power of God's love, his healing mercy, and his forgiving compassion, working in and through us. The body of Christ was broken for us on Good Friday. The body of Christ remains broken to this day. As a body, the church, during the 16th century Reformation and subsequently, we have experienced divorce, not only between Roman Catholics and Protestants, but also among different denominations. Even before these divorces was the Great Schism that occurred in the 11th century between the Orthodox churches in the East and the Western churches centered in Rome. The body is broken, but the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of love is not and cannot be broken. We can refuse to receive it. We can refuse to let it live in and through us, but it remains whole. And no one can separate us from that love, that spirit in Christ Jesus. Ultimately, and quite simply, Jesus tells us exactly how to allow the power of this love to flourish and flow. We are to receive God's love with the openness, guilelessness, vulnerability, and enthusiasm of a little child. If we have nothing else in common, we all share the common experience of once being little children. And Jesus wants us to focus on and live out of and into that aspect of our identities. In the face of all the distractions and complications, the losses, agendas, and conflicts the world presents to us, Jesus wants us to remember, above all else, our common and unifying source and heritage. That we hear in that baby's cry, we are each tiny, but uniquely important, colorful, light-reflecting, and light-bearing shapes in God's kaleidoscope. As we move ourselves towards God's table this morning, may we move with openness, gratitude, enthusiasm, and deep remembrance. May we remember the open-hearted, steadfast, and ever-expanding love out of which we were all created. And in doing so, be remembered, reconnected, reunited, and reconciled anew with God, with our purest, truest, most expansive selves, and with each other. Amen.